Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Grab your Bible. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1 is where we're going to begin. And as you go there, you know, one of the things that you find if you study humanity at all, if you study anthropology, is that one of the most persistent questions throughout different cultures, throughout different time periods, throughout different people groups, populations, is this question of, is there something out there? Namely, is there a greater being we can hear from? Is there someone out there who wants to talk to us? It's interesting that just a little bit ago, in fact, NBC News ran a story in which they talked about a radio telescope that had been built in a place called Green Bank, West Virginia. I'd never heard about this. But there's this massive telescope. In fact, I want to show you a picture of it. It's so large. You can fit a 60,000-seat stadium would fit inside of that. And this has been built in Green Bank, West Virginia for one specific purpose, and that is to listen to the universe. Actually listening to outer space or signals from outer space, because humanity, this is witness to the fact that humanity desperately longs to know if there is a God or a power or a person or a being who wants to communicate with us. As human beings, does God want to talk to us? And we know, somebody quietly whispered, yes. In church, you can shout, yell, yes, he does. He wants to talk to us. We know that. We know God wants to talk to us. You might have come in here tonight and you're not a church person, or you're not, you know, like you would say, maybe you don't even know where you stand with God, or you know, you don't know if you're a Christian. You need to understand something. That the Bible is replete with examples of God talking to people and telling people to listen because he wants to talk to them. Because God wants to talk to you, right? God wants to speak to you. But the question is, how? How does God talk to us? How does God want to speak to you? How does God want to talk to you? Which is exactly the issue that the psalmist speaks to when we get to Psalm chapter 19. He reminds us not only that God wants to talk to us, but then moves us to a deeper understanding of how God wants to talk to us. And the first thing he says is that God wants to talk to you through creation. God wants to talk to you through creation. Look at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. In other words, the first way the psalmist says that God is speaking to us, how God wants to communicate to you, how God wants to talk to you, is that he's going to talk to you through what he's done in creation. He's going to talk to you about what you see in the sky, through what you see in the sky. He's going to talk to you through nature and what you see around you, because God wants to talk to everyone. We recognize it. Every time you go outside, every time you look at the sky, every time you watch the sunset, every time you watch the leaves pop out in the spring or change and fade from orange to red to fall off the trees. Maybe they skip that and just go straight to brown. Those are the falls that I don't like. But through all of that, God is talking to us, because the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything about what God has created tells us there is a God. And what's so interesting is what does God's creation say? Because God could say anything he wanted to through what he's created, right? God's not limited in any way, shape, or form in terms of what he would want to communicate to you and me. So he could say whatever he wants. So does the sky proclaim God's judgment? Is creation talking about God's holiness? Is creation talking about God's eternality? Is creation presenting to us God's infinite wisdom? Psalmist says, actually, maybe some of those things inadvertently, but there's one main thing that God wants you to get every time you go out and look at the sky. There's one main thing that God wants you to be reminded of every time you go out and cut your grass. You're like, what, that it's hot out here? You know, no, what God did through creation, why God created the world, was to put his glory on display. That every time you walk outside, it should inspire what God has done when he painted on the canvas that is creation. He did it to declare his glory, to cause awe to well up, and for you to marvel at him, for you to stand in wonder at the God who created the heavens and the earth. It's to cause you to go, wow, God is glorious and God is mighty and God is awesome. It's to show you, it's to speak to you, it's to preach to you God's glory, God's magnificence. Amen. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't just whisper that, it shouts it. Yes. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's not, you know, he's not doing it in subtle tones. He's doing it loud. He's doing it in a way that's in your face. He's doing it in a way that's inescapable because he wants to declare the glory of God. And not only does creation shout about God's glory, not only is he wanting to speak to you about how marvelous, how awesome, how amazing he is, because he is. But notice this, it not only shouts, but it does that continually. Go to verse 2. Day to day pours out speech, night to night reveals knowledge. Again and again and again, it doesn't matter if you're going to bed or if you're waking up. It doesn't matter if you're having a, you know, your lunch break and you're going to eat outside because it's not blazing hot that day and there's a nice breeze and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping and you just want to go outside. You're reminded again and again. You can't get away from it. It's continual. God is speaking. Isn't that an amazing thing? God never wants to stop talking to you. He never goes dark. Like, sometimes we'll be like, well, I just feel like God isn't speaking. It's like, well, have you gone outside today? Because he totally is. Have you been outside? Like, I just feel like I'm in a season where I'm not hearing God's voice. Well, then you need to go for a walk. Because God wants to talk to you. He wants to get your attention. Well, what would he say to me? Well, he would tell you that he is awesome and that he is mighty and that he is glorious and that he never stops being any of those things. That's what he would speak to you. And you need that spoken to you. This is what God does. So amazing. He never stops speaking. And notice the knowledge. The knowledge is not verbal. It's visual. In other words, isn't it awesome how God works? He knows that we interact in multiple ways, that you don't just interact. I mean, most of communication is nonverbal. It is visual. So wouldn't it make sense that a creator God wants to speak through what is before your eyes, what you can see with your eyes? He's going to want to speak through what you can feel. That when you dig in the dirt, as my kids so often do, they are interacting with one of God's primary communication pieces, his creation. It's an amazing thing that God isn't just speaking verbally, he is speaking visually, and that the design reminds us that there is a designer. That he's telling us about himself. He's telling us about his creative capacity. He's telling us about his power. He's telling us about his ingenuity. He's telling us all of that to point us to his glory, and it never stops, and everyone hears it. And you go to verse 3, and what does the psalmist say? There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. In other words, this defies language. It defies cultural context. It defies every one of those realities because it transcends all of those. Their voice, creation's voice, every element of creation goes through all the earth and their words to the ends of the earth. It's inescapable. And here's what I love about this. You know, when you dig around a little bit in the Hebrew, through the first 6 verses of Psalm 19, the psalmist uses perhaps the most generic designation for God in the Hebrew language, and that is the term El, which stands for Elohim. So this generic term for God, as if to say, well, when you're interacting with creation, this is a way that God communicates to all people, regardless of whether they believe in him or they don't believe in him, whether or not they're tuned into what he's saying or not tuned into what he's saying, whether they feel distant or close. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you're into, whether you're pursuing him or not, God is speaking to you. But here's what happens when you get to verse 7. When you get to verse 7, the psalmist switches from using that more generic form or that more common form for the name of God, El or Elohim, and he switches to the awesome, the fearsome name of God, Yahweh. In other words, as if to say, okay, God speaks to everybody generally through his creation. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to your neighbor. He wants to talk to your boss. He wants to talk to your employees, and he's doing it. But God wants to speak pointedly, specifically, and personally, and he does that differently. So when you go to verse 7, we find out that God wants to talk to you not only through creation, but he also wants to talk to you through his word. Let's go to verse 7. The law of the Lord, so he switches gears. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I love those verses, but notice something structurally about these verses. That he moves through these and he says, he gives you basically a title or a synonym for the written word of God, because those are what flow through the passage. He gives you a title. Then he gives you an attribute. So here's something about that title, and we're going to look at this. And then he moves to a result. So the law of the Lord, that's the first title. And he says, what is the law? The law of the Lord is perfect. That's an attribute. He says, here's the result. It revives the soul. The next title, the testimony. And what is the testimony? The testimony of the Lord is sure. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. That's the result. And then the title, the precepts of the Lord are right. That's the attribute. And then you go down, the commandment is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So you've got title, you've got attribute, you've got result. That's the way that he's kind of structured this passage. And what I want you to do is notice that in the way that God speaks to us through his word, it produces certain results in our lives. That God wants, his desire is not just to speak to you and that nothing would change. His desire is to change you as you hear and respond to his word. Because God's word was given to us not to satisfy our curiosity, but to change our lives. So here's what the psalmist is saying. What is God wanting to do in you through his word? When you interact with his word, when he speaks to you in this way, what happens? What's the upshot? And the first result is that it revives the soul. In other words, if you are tired or if you're run down or if your soul feels kind of burnt out, where do you need to go? And the psalmist says, what you need is you need to tune in to how God would want to speak to you right here. That's God wants to speak to you, which is, this should be no surprise to us if you're here on Sunday, because we looked at the fact that God is able to strengthen you. And part of the way he does that is through the gospel in his word, because the psalmist is like, well, that's no surprise to me because I know it revives the soul. It's able to revive you. It's able to strengthen you. It's able to lift you up. It's able to propel you forward into his purpose, into his plan for you. That's amazing. It revives the soul. Now, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, here's what's so great about this, that we all need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And one of the things that you find when you go online, all you have to do is you Google a question and it populates with all these blogs, because every person has got a lot of questions about how to do a lot of things, and so we're all trying to get wise to some degree or some regard. And the psalmist is saying, wait, let me just help you out with this. Like, if you want to know where wisdom is going to come from, it's going to come from you interacting with God's word, because God wants to speak to you, and when he speaks to you, it's going to make you wise. It's going to make you wise. It's going to be a total change for you through the way that you walk through life. Now, the starkest example of this personally for me is the issue of the wonderful invention we know as smoke detectors. Because why is it, and maybe somebody in this room is smarter than me and can understand why is it that smoke detectors only go off between 2 and 4 in the morning? Why is that? That's the only time when they run out of battery. It's just true again and again. You never hear that battery start beeping. It doesn't happen at lunchtime. It doesn't happen at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't even happen at 8:30. It happens sometime between 1:30 and 4:30 a.m. And here's the added layer to the insanity of this. This was several weeks ago. Smoke detector, I hear it beeping. 4 in the morning. Beep. You're like, oh, I think that was just a one-time thing. You're laying there, like, right when I just know this is true. This is testimony time. Right when you think you're like, it was a one-time thing. I didn't hear that. That was a dream. All of a sudden, you're right about to go back to sleep, and he goes, beep. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is gonna wake up the kids. I can't go to sleep. It's early in the morning. Everybody should be sleeping. So I know I'm gonna need a ladder. So I go down to the crawl space, unfortunate, get the ladder, get it out, everybody's sleeping, and I just stand in the hallway. Because I can't figure out, you know, isn't that weird? You never know which one's going off. It's so loud, but you never know. So I'm standing there, beep, okay, so I take a right. And I go upstairs, and I'm standing right under it. Beep, it's not upstairs. So I go downstairs. I go into my sleeping children's bedroom, one of them. Standing under that one. I'm like, this is it, because it sounded right. Beep, but it's down that way. So I go down the hall, and I'm standing in the hall. I'm standing under, beep. You gotta be joking me. So it was the one right over our bed in the master bedroom. How is that even possible? But I didn't have a battery. So what I did is I went back upstairs, took the ladder upstairs, pulled the battery out of that one, took the ladder back downstairs, changed the battery in the master bedroom, and was just like, I'll put the ladder away later. If the upstairs burns down, I guess we're just hosed because I'm going back to sleep, you know? Here's the thing. God's word has the power to keep that from happening in your life holistically. So that you aren't the guy walking around in the dark house carrying a ladder trying to figure out which smoke detector is going off because you have a sense of the direction you should go. You have a sense that God is leading you because God's word is illuminating. What does the Bible say? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is making wise the simple. I'm so thankful that that's what God's word produces in our lives. When God wants to speak to you through his word, part of the reason for that is he wants to make you wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When I think about people, and even myself, when you're going through a season where joy is hard to find, and some of you know what that's like because that's honestly where you are. You're in a season, quite honestly, where joy seems very hard to find. Can I encourage you with something? Get a new Bible reading plan. Make it fresh. You don't need a new Bible. You just need a new plan. And you need to start opening God's word and digesting large amounts of it. And it will bring joy. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah says. He says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. In other words, there's something in us that responds to what God has planted in his word. And what happens is when what God's put in you corresponds or responds to what God has planted in his word, it can't help but create this connection. What does he say? For I am called by your name. In other words, that's my identity. This is calling me home to who I really am. And that always brings joy. It always does. It's a joy. He says, I ate them. I feasted on your word. I feasted on listening to you because I know you want to talk to me. And I feasted on listening to you and it brought joy. It brought joy. God's word always brings about rejoicing. Now, let's go back to Psalm 19 and verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In other words, it steers you away from where darkness is. It's pure. It's not defiled. There's a purity to it that allows you, that leads you in a way that God is working where the light of the Lord is. He says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. This is the only time in Scripture that I can tell where the fear of the Lord is a synonym for God's written word. The psalmist uses the fear of the Lord essentially to say there's something respect-inspiring, something awe-inspiring. And when you interact with God's word, it weights your life. It grounds your life. That part of it is it reminds you of the story that you're a part of and the power of the God who saved you, changed you, and lives inside of you. All of a sudden, you're not allowing yourself to escape that for one second, and it produces an awe, and it produces a reverence, and it produces a weight. All of a sudden, you realize that the decisions you're making aren't bound up in the temporary and the temporal. They're bound up in the eternal because they're part of the God. They're part of a story that God has woven you into the fabric of that started in eternity past and extends into infinity. That God has brought you into that story. That's the narrative you're a part of. God's word, when you dial into God's word and you listen to God's word, all of a sudden you cannot get away from that. So the psalmist says, how does God want to speak to you? He wants to speak to you through creation. He wants to speak to you through his word. Then finally, he wants to speak to you, and it's for your benefit. It's for your good. God wants to speak to you for your benefit. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter than honey dripping from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. What is he saying about our benefit? In other words, God wants to speak to you to keep you from what would harm you. When God wants to talk to you, he said, by them is your servant warned. Oh, God's going to get after me. God's going to say, hey, if you do this, you better watch out. I'm going to get you. Oh, yeah, there are things that will hurt you. But God's heart is the heart of a father. The heart of a good father says, I want to keep you from what would damage your life. I want to warn you about what would hurt you. I want to warn you about what would harm you. And therefore, I'm going to communicate that to you. By them is your servant warned. Don't go that way, go this way. Don't pursue that relationship, that will hurt you. Don't go down that road, that will harm you. Don't do that, that will hurt your spouse, that will harm your marriage, that will damage your family. God's not keeping you from something. He's taking you to something. That's why it says, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Warned and reward aren't working against one another. They're working for the... You're warned to get to the reward. You're warned. He's propelling you not only away from what would harm you, but toward what would prosper you. You have to be warned to be rewarded. Because it's in heeding the warning that you pursue the rewarding and experience the goodness that God has for you. He speaks to you. He wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to you to benefit you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to show you his goodness, to show you his favor. And He wants to do it to draw you closer to him, to cause you at the deepest level, at the core of who you are, to understand why he's created you and what he wants to do in you and through you. He wants to draw you closer with him so that you can have deeper relationship with him so that you can be like him. Go to verse 12. Who can discern his errors? In other words, who can know his own heart? Who in here could know her own heart? Whether you're a man or a woman, boy or girl, it doesn't matter what age you are, the reality is, the Bible says, the heart is really deceptive. Who can really discern all of that? What is he says, declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. What the psalmist is saying is, if you will draw me close to you, if you'll look into my soul, if I'll listen to your voice, guess what? It'll guard me. Yeah, it'll guard me from things that'll hurt me, and it'll lead me toward things that'll reward me. But ultimately, it'll just bring me close to you. And you can speak to me, and you can show me things about myself that I can't see in myself. And you can help me beat things. You can help me win battles that I can't win on my own. Why? Because you're messing around in my life. And the only one I really want messing around in my life is him. And anyone he sends my way to move me closer to him. And that's what God wants to do. As he speaks to us, he wants to draw you. He wants to move you. Tonight, you're here. You know why? Because he's calling you closer to him. Right. Why are you here? When it's pouring down rain outside, and everybody else is going, you know what? I'm just going to stay home. Why are you here? Because God brought you here to draw you closer to him. Right. This is what he wants. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. The psalmist says, finally, in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, what the internal narrative of my life and how that flows to the outside, anybody who's listening, be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God, I want to be a person that you work through. I want to be a person who knows your goodness. I want to be a person who walks toward, away from error and toward reward. And that's going to take you messing with my priorities, with my direction, with my thoughts, because I want to hear you speak. I want to tune, I want to get where I discern better and better, and I can listen clearer and clearer to what you would say. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this with the advent of satellite radio and plugging your phone into your car, fewer and fewer people do, but I still listen to the radio every once in a while. Some of you are like, yeah, me too. We're old souls right here. I feel a lot of camaraderie right now. But you know, everybody's experienced this. You're listening to something and you're driving. Maybe you're on a road trip and you're driving. And as you start to drive, you know, maybe you're listening to the news and all of a sudden it's like, and today will be mostly sunny with a high of. Then it comes back on. Today the Senate confirmed Justice. Like, oh, I wanted to know that. What are you going to have to do to fix that issue? What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to turn around. Because what's happening is the direction that you're going is causing the signal to weaken because you're getting further and further from the source. So at some point, if you want to hear what's happening on that station, you're going to have to say, you know, no, I really wanted to know that. I am taking an exit. I'm going to go back the other direction. And what happens is as you get closer to the source, as you get closer to the signal, what happens? Those interruptions become less and less and less and less, and you can hear better and better and better and better. But how does that happen? You say, I'm gonna run to the source. I'm gonna get really, really close to the source, because the best way to hear what I can get from the source is by being as close to the source as possible. That's what this space is down here. That's the whole, the reason we end the prayer meeting in any service, in any season, is so that you can get to the source. So that you can have a designated space and a designated place and a designated time to say, I'm gonna get near the source. And all of us, that should be our heart's cry. God, I wanna be as close to you as I can possibly be, so there are as few hindrances or interruptions as there can possibly be, so that you and I can interact and I can hear your voice as clearly as humanly possible.